ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 28, entitled Jnana Yoga, text number 16. Dehindriya prana mano abhimano jivo antaratma gunakarma murtihi sutram maha niti kuru deva gitaha samsara adavati kala tantraha deha with the material body indriya senses prana life air manaha and mind abhimanaha who is falsely identifying jivaha the living entity antaha situated within atma the soul guna according to his material qualities karma and work murtihi assuming his form sutram the sutra tattva mahan the original form of material nature iti thus urdha urudha in many different ways eva indeed gitaha described samsare in material life adhavati he runs about kala of time tantraha under the strict control translation by the servants of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada the living entity who falsely identifies with his body senses life air and mind and who dwells within these coverings assumes the form of his own materially conditioned qualities and work he is designated variously in relation to the total material energy and thus under the strict control of supreme time he is forced to run here and there within material existence translation responsibly the living entity who falsely identifies with his body senses life air and mind and who dwells within these coverings assumes the form of his own materially conditioned qualities and work he is designated variously in relation to the total material energy and thus under the strict control of supreme time he is forced to run here and there within material existence purport false ego which causes the living entity to suffer material existence is here described in detail as the illusory identification with the material body senses life air and mind the word kala refers directly to the supreme personality of Godhead who imposes the limiting segments of time upon the conditioned souls keeping them tightly bound under the laws of nature liberation is not an impersonal experience liberation is attainment of one's eternal body senses mind and intelligence in the association of the personality of Godhead we can revive our eternal liberated personality free from the contamination of false ego by dedicating ourselves to the loving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. When the pure spirit soul accepts the false ego, he must undergo material suffering. One automatically conquers the false ego by accepting oneself in pure Krishna consciousness to be the eternal servant of Lord Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurunmitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासदि गौर भक्तवृंद मुखम करोति वाचलम पंगुम लंगायत गिरम यत् कृपा तमाम वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So, this chapter is entitled Jnana Yoga. I'd like to apologize, I'm not really prepared for the class, it's a bit spontaneous. So in this chapter, the root cause of the problem in material world we are facing is described. Because the root cause of the crisis, is false ego, as being described here and in the previous verses. And as this chapter started off, so Krishna started by describing that one should not praise or criticize material nature. Rather, one should contemplate on the absolute truth and understand things in the right perspective. Excuse me. Because if we are engaged in praising or criticizing material nature or items produced by material nature, we'll be absorbed in that and we won't be able to understand who we are and what is the absolute truth. It's like, you know, in material nature there's so much variety. If you want to buy a car, there's so many types. You can either buy a bomb or you can, you know, buy a nice Mercedes or some other car. So, you know, generally the conditioned souls are engaged in praising or criticizing or despising. So saying, oh, you know, that's such a nice job, or that's such a nice car, it has got so many features, this one is not so nice. But by their doing this, in each and everything, they are fully absorbed in material nature. And they cannot contemplate what's actually going around them. So, even we can see before we became Krishna conscious, or we are still aspiring to become, or before we came into Krishna consciousness, we were also engaged, fully absorbed in glorifying something and condemning something. And as a result, we could not contemplate what's going on. Isn't it? So, somehow when we are engaged in praising and criticizing material nature, we become so absorbed that we don't know what's going on around us. You know, and even if someone tries to tell us, educate us in self-realization, we are too absorbed in the false reality. And then also Uddhava, in the last few texts, he asks a question which Ramaya Swami explained very nicely, the answer, that who is the one who actually experiences pain and pleasure in material existence? Is it the spirit soul or the material body? Because the spirit soul is Satchidananda, eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. And material nature, by definition, material nature is dead. That's why material nature is considered to be apara prakriti. And whereas the spiritual nature is para prakriti, which means spiritual nature is superior because it is conscious. Whereas material nature is inferior because it is unconscious. In other words, matter is dead. So this table, this microphone, everything is dead. Simply by the touch of spirit, it seems to be functioning. And Vyasagi Prabhu was giving a very nice example. He was saying how when you sit in the car, you turn on the ignition switch, it seems like the whole car comes to life, especially these modern cars. You know, it does all the system checks, tells you, you know, your seat is adjusted properly, or there's air in the tires, enough oil, enough petrol, whatever it does. And when you even turn it more, the car, the engine gets running. So then it seems the car is alive. But actually it is the spirit soul or the driver which has put it into action, which has manipulated it, and it seems it is going. So Uddhava's question is, who is actually experiencing the pain or pleasure? Is it the soul or the body? The body is dead and the soul is Satchidananda. But the soul, the amazing thing is that the soul never comes in contact with material nature. So this whole material existence is facilitated so that we can think that we are the supreme controller, enjoyer and proprietor. That's the whole reason Krishna had to facilitate this material existence. Actually, Krishna did not want to create this material existence. But Krishna had to create it because of us. Sometimes people ask, you know, why are we suffering? You know, if God is there, why has He put us in suffering conditions? You know, so the answer is actually we desired it. Deep down, that's the answer. We actually desired to be here, and Krishna had to fulfill our desires because man proposes and God disposes. So we are not independent at all in fulfilling our desires. We can only desire. It is actually Krishna who fulfills all the desires. So Krishna, situated in the heart as the super soul, knows the desires of each and every living entity, and according to the karma, He sanctions the desires. So originally we had this desire to come to the material world to be the supreme controller, enjoyer and proprietor. And therefore Krishna had to go through this whole thing of creating the material world so that we can have this illusion that we are the supreme controller, enjoyer and proprietor. So then, you know, as we know, Krishna in His plenary portion expands as the three Vishnus, Karna Dakshai, Vishnu Garbha Dakshai and Chiro Dakshai. And so that is the soul of the universe. And then there's Brahma, the secondary creator, so many demigods, and so they are also placed, they can also think they are a supreme controller, enjoyer. And somehow Krishna is orchestrating this huge material creation where everyone is thinking they are a supreme controller, enjoyer and proprietor. So that's one reason why the material creation is facilitated. So we can have this. And the amazing thing is, the illusion is so perfect that we think we are the supreme controller, enjoyer. Though the laws of nature are smashing us at every moment. It's amazing how powerful this illusion is. So it's like the other day I was showing somebody a book, and I heard this line from Vijay Prabhu. He said, one bhakta told him that he tells people that, you know, did you watch the movie Matrix? And in the Matrix 1, there's a red pill which takes people out of the Matrix. So I told then this book is the red pill. So the guy said, so you're saying I'm an illusion? I said, yes, everyone is an illusion. Please buy the book. and he bought the book. So the point is, this illusion is so perfect that we are thinking we are a supreme controller, enjoyer and proprietor. That's the power of Krishna's illusory energy. Krishna says, Daivi esha guna mai mama maya duratyaya maame vaya prapadyante maya medam tarantiri. Thank you. So this divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. It is very, very powerful. But simply by surrendering unto me, one can overcome it. So, but Krishna wants us to come back to the spiritual world. It's not that Krishna has left us here rotting. So therefore, Krishna sends His acharyas, His devotees. Krishna sometimes Himself comes, or His plenary expansions, His incarnations, they all come for the whole idea of reclaiming the fallen conditioned souls. So that's why this whole process of bhakti yoga is given, to reclaim the living entities. And the false ego is the very root cause of our being. If false ego is like the strongest binding knot, which is actually holding us down here. And the false ego is actually making us feel the pains and pleasures. Actually, neither the spirit soul nor the body is feeling that, because as I said before, matter is inferior because it is unconscious. There is no life. And spirit soul is superior. But the spirit soul cannot come in touch with matter. So to facilitate the illusion, that's where false ego comes in. It is like the bridge. And so it is simply this imagination which is making us feel all this pain and pleasure. And Ramaswamy gave that very nice example. That was a very wonderful example. He said, if you go in those cinemas where the screen is right in your face and you have to hold this bar, and then they play the film, and then we are imagining what's going on, though it's actually not happening to us, but we feel it is happening to us. So that's the power of the false ego. So this whole process of Krishna consciousness is to cut the false ego at the root. So therefore, Therefore, the Acharyas have given us the 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting and remembering. So when we engage in this, this is a very, very powerful process where we can destroy the false ego. And it all begins with hearing. So this morning program is a very powerful program. If you attend the full morning program, after that one feels enlivened. And the people you come in contact with, they also feel enlivened by coming in touch with you. Because they feel there's something, you know, there's some special energy. Like yesterday, some Western people came. And I asked them after the 12-hour kirtan when it finished, so how was it? How was the experience? They said, much better than a nightclub. They said, it was a different kind of energy. It was a much better energy. So, though even there they're dancing, here we're dancing, but it's a different energy. So it's a different experience. So because here we are engaged in Krishna conscious activities. And by nature we are Krishna conscious, deep down. But right now we are covered over by matter. So by engaging in this process of Krishna consciousness, we will become spiritualized. It's like the red hot iron. If you put it in fire and you leave it for a while, it becomes red hot. And then it burns everything else. So similarly, by engaging in the process of Krishna consciousness, we become spiritualized. And when we come in contact with people, they also feel the enthusiasm and the spiritual energy. It's like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went on a South India tour of preaching, whoever he came in contact with, they all became pure devotees. Sorry? Jare dekha tare ka Krishna upadesh. So, wherever he spread the holy name, they all became Krishna conscious. And when they went to the villages and chanted, everyone else became Krishna conscious. And then the whole South India was Krishna conscious. So this is the power. But this doesn't mean only this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can do. Srila Prabhupada mentions that whoever follows the process purely, they will also get this same potency. And as I said before, that this material creation is facilitated to reclaim the living entities. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what's that verse in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Savya Sachin, become my instrument. Nimitta Matrena Bhava Savya Sachin. So Krishna says, you simply have to become my instrument. So, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already predicted, that this chanting of the holy name will be spread in every town and village. Now, we simply have to become his instrument. It's going to happen. So the question is, who's going to take the credit? It's like when Arjun, he saw the universal form, when he saw the universal form, in that he saw various things. He saw so many hands, legs, eyes. It was so effulgent, he could hardly see the form. And he saw the form of time. And in that he saw all the soldiers on both sides, Bhishma, Drona. They all were being crushed by the wheel of time, or by the teeth of time. So everyone was being killed. And he actually could see the outcome of the whole war. And his relationship changed from friendship to wonder. And he could see the outcome. And then he became very fearful and he prayed to Krishna. And Krishna said, you know, you simply become my instrument. You know, they're going to die anyway. So now, are you going to fight or not? They're going to die anyway. So better you fight and take the credit. And you enjoy the kingdom. So that's the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, like that this Krishna conscious movement is going to be spread in every town and village. We simply have to take the credit for it. And if we take the initiative, the Lord actually makes the arrangements. I got this realization during this marathon. We were when we went traveling last week. So we were in Bendigo. First day we did Bendigo. And next day we thought we'll go to Castlemaine. I've heard a lot about this town, Castlemaine. A lot of devotees said. And Daniel also said. He said it's a very, people have a lot of money. They're very, you know, alternative kind of people. So you go and do books there, it'll be good. It's a small town. It's 30 km from Bendigo towards Warrnambool. So we drove there in the evening and we camped. At night it rained. We didn't have a good rest. And so next day it was pouring buckets. And then we went in the town and there was hardly any people there. And then we thought, you know, what do we do? So now we are here and it's already 10:30. So the time is ticking and the day is going and we want to do books. So what do we do? So we thought, okay, we'll wait, let the rain slow down. But that wasn't happening. It was pouring, it was getting even heavier and heavier. Like yesterday when it was raining in between, it was very heavy, like that. So just few people were there, some old people, and we thought, should we go back to Bendigo? And then if we have to drive to Warrnambool, it's 3 hours drive, 3.5, and that's too much after a full day of Sankirtan. And so we thought we'll go to Ballarat and take a risk, because when I've gone, previously I've gone to Ballarat twice, both times security has caught me and they've thrown me out. Somehow in that mall, the security is very strict. They have cameras everywhere and, you know, I've been caught, busted twice in karmi clothes. So we were doing in devotional cloth. We thought we'll take a risk, we'll go in devotee cloth and do till we get caught and then go to the library and read. So then we just flew towards Ballarat full speed. Because it's an hour and a half drive and we're already late, you know, half day is gone. So when there also it was raining, but not as heavy. But there's a lot of cover, so you know, it's all covered. The mall is covered. And when we reached there, within 5 minutes the second person I stopped was a security man who works there. So as I was entering the mall, he said, "What's going on?" in a very strong Aussie accent. You know, "What's going on?" like that. He was in a short Australian wearing glasses, smoking, and looking pretty mean kind of guy, tough kind of guy. And I thought to myself, there we go, you know. The day is spoiled. Because in Castleman, I tried to sell someone a Bhagavad Gita in a petrol pump, and he gave me $1.40 for a hardcover Gita. And he took it. So it was all a bad start. Everything was going wrong. And so I said, "What's going on?" And he saw my dress, you know, this funny looking person in orange. And he said, "What's going on?" So I said, "I'm a monk and we are showing everyone some books." And I gave him a Bhagavad Gita and I said, "I'll show you some pictures." And I opened, and the moment he saw the pictures, he took off his glasses and he started swearing. He said, "This is so true. This is so true. This is all correct, you know. This change of bodies, I've never seen anything like this." And so I kept going on till we reached the karma page, you know, that man killing cow and cow killing man. So, and he said, "Give me a look." And he took the book from my hand and he read it. I was thinking, oh my God. You know. he read what's written. And he said, "My karma is very bad." I said, "Don't worry, it can change, you know. If you read this, karma is temporary, it can change. Karma is not eternal. And if you put it in practice, you know, it will totally go away." He said, no, my karma cannot change. My karma is very bad." And I was trying to convince him, "No, it will change. You just buy the book." And he said, "How much?" I said, $15. And he said, "I don't have any money." I said, "That's fine, I'll give you a free book." So I gave him Perfection of Yoga. And he was very happy. And I gave him a few cookies. And then I said, "By the way, do you mind if I do in the mall, you know, sell some books?" He said, "Go for it, you know." He said, "You're doing a very good job. You go for it. You go and distribute as many books as you like. And if anyone gives you a hard time, you come and tell me." So obviously there was some higher kind of arrangement going on, you know. And he said, "You know, this is good work and you go and do this. And I really appreciate what you're doing. I'm from Queensland." And he said, he showed me his identity card. He was very proud of being an armed guard. That time he didn't have a pistol. But he said, "I fixed up a lot of people and there are a lot of kids here who are creating a lot of problem. And they specifically hired me so I can sort these kids out. Because kids make a big mess, you know. Young kids." So he said, "If these kids give you a hard time, you come and tell me, I'll sort them out." And I said, "By the way, I have another mate of mine, he's also orange. So please look after him." He said, "Don't worry. Both of you, you have, you know, do whatever you want." And then all days for 6 hours, we are going up and down and approaching everyone. And every 15 minutes, he would also be walking up and down, keeping an eye on the kids. And he would come and ask us, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Do you need anything? Is anyone giving you a hard time? Look after your money." And you know, these kids will steal the books. So be careful. And he was very, very appreciative. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually makes arrangements for the distribution of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes there's a test, sometimes he'll make special arrangements. So this was obviously a very higher kind of arrangements. And later, I didn't know his wife was also there. His wife and kid. And then later they were talking together and he introduced me to his wife. And she said, "You were stopping everyone else, but why didn't you stop me?" So I was like shocked, you know. You know, and she said, "Show me, what's this?" And she also didn't have money, but I gave her a free book and cookies. And like that, he looked after us the whole day. And he even told us, "Go there, you'll make more money over there," and this and that. And he said, "Please come back again." So like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he makes special arrangements for the distribution of Krishna consciousness. We simply have to take the initiative. And so many people actually, Srila Prabhupada says, these books will change the face of human society. That is true. You know, we think, okay, we are distributing these books, but, you know, many people don't read them. Or they're just sitting there. But even if they don't become devotees, but it actually changes people. And many people, when they read these books, and they develop a deep appreciation for devotees. Because they can see, these teachings are for real. It's not something, you know, it's not something shallow. It's very deep. It's for real. And what these devotees doing are for real. And people have a lot of appreciation. They come and thank us, you know, "You're doing a good job. These books are very nice." Though they can't follow it, but they have this deep appreciation. And I met few people who, they said, "Oh, we keep the Bhagavad Gita by our bedside. And every now and then, you know, I read it. It's a very nice book." And in Bendigo, one lady, she said, the first lady I stopped, she said that, I showed her the book. She said, "I have this book and I read it every now and then. And it's a very nice book." So people actually develop a lot of appreciation for these books. And in this way, they make a lot of advancement. Simply by appreciating the devotees, by appreciating the books, they are actually making some solid advancement in Krishna consciousness. So as is mentioned in this verse, everyone is under the strict control of supreme time. So time is called Kala Rupa. Time is another form of the Lord. And the nature of time is that it destroys everything. And time brings things to us. Time brings happiness and distress. It's not this person bringing or that person bringing. It is actually the form of time which is bringing all kinds of things to us, happiness and distress. And we see, like in the first canto, when the Pandavas, headed by Yudhishthira Maharaj, Krishna advised them to go and meet Bhishma Dev, who was lying on a bed of arrows, and to get instructions from Bhishma Dev, because Krishna knew his time for departing was coming, and Krishna wanted the Pandavas to go there and witness that how a devotee is sound in any stage of life, whether a devotee is in pain or not in pain, how a devotee is Krishna conscious in every condition of life. So Krishna wanted the Pandavas to go and see that, and Krishna wanted his devotee Bhishma Dev to get glorified. In such a condition also he can impart instructions. So he asked the Pandavas to go there, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj went, and Bhishma Dev said, "How you have suffered so many kinds of, how you have been tested in so many different ways. You were tried to be burnt in the house of lakh. You were tried to be poisoned. You were exiled, to try to be killed in so many ways. Your kingdom was taken away." But he said, all of this is happening by the influence of supreme time. It is actually time which is bringing forward these things. And because of time, People are running here and there, as it's mentioned in this verse. So all of this is happening by the potency of time. But if one engages in Krishna consciousness, then it is like the time does not affect. It affects in the sense, of course, the body will age. The body goes through 6 transformations. There's birth, it grows, keeps going, then it stays for a while, produces byproducts, then dwindles and vanishes. Of course, that will happen by the influence of time. But time will not degrade one spiritually. Or, you know, if that, there's that verse in Bhagavatam, by the rising and the setting of the sun, the sun actually takes away everything. Time takes away everything. Generally, people see the sun rising in the morning, they see, oh, such a nice sunrise. Let's go to the beach, have a walk. So nice, so beautiful. Sunset, oh, so romantic. Let's go for a walk. But actually, they don't realize how time is taking away their very existence. Everything is being stripped out of everything. But one who engages in Krishna conscious activities, in the 9 processes of devotional service, they are like, you know, the kitten which is being carried by the cat. The kitten is not feeling any pain. It is actually feeling pleasure. Though for the mouse or for the rat, that very same mouth is hell. It's death. Death personified. So for devotees, time has a different kind of effect. But of course, if that is only so, if we are fully absorbed in the 9 processes of devotional service. It's not that we're doing it half-heartedly. Okay, we have to fully absorb ourselves in hearing, chanting, and remembering the Supreme Lord and serving Him. So I'll stop here. See if any questions, comments, or corrections. Yes, Prabhu. Okay, Mahatma Prabhu.
As you said, you have 50 devotees who are servants of Srila Prabhupada. I was recently in Vrindavan. He said the same thing. Even if you read one page of Prabhupada's book, even one line, you can get liberated. So it is such a profound effect of Prabhupada's books.
Yeah, they get a human body. For sure.
And you did such a magic.
Well, I didn't do it. It was Krishna in the heart of that person called Daniel. He did the magic, not me.
So these books are like,
because I've gone previously and I've been thrown out, you know. So Krishna did the magic.
So these books are like time bombs, you know.
Yeah, definitely, they're time bombs. Yeah, there are many stories. I've been hearing pictures of it. He was saying, this story is very funny. You know, one devotee driving and suddenly a cop pulls him over, and he's like, I didn't do anything wrong. Why did a cop pull me over? And the cop said, show me your license, and he showed. He said, by the way, do you have a Srimad Bhagavatam? So he saw, this is a devotee, you know. And I met one person like that. I showed him the books. He said, I have Bhagavad Gita. I said, did you read it? He said, these are the best books. Nothing can get better than this. I said, wow, he's a very special person. I said, we have some other books. Have you heard of Krishna? He said, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, yeah, I've read that also. I said, okay. He said, what are the books you got? Show me. He said, I have Science of Self-Realization. I showed him Journey of Self-Discovery. He gave it back. And he said, do you have the Srimad Bhagavatam? So, you know, very, very powerful books. It actually changes people. And he is chanting by himself. He's chanting 1 or 2 rounds every now and then, simply by reading the books. And he gave me his phone number. He's never been to any programs. He's been to the temple once. Just mean to Crossways. And so these books have a very strong effect on people. So we just have to be out there, whether we do a lot of books or few books. If we are out there, you know, Krishna will show us some wonderful things.
Yes. Similarly, yesterday I was going to the workshop of
Vyasagi Prabhu, yeah.
And I met a lady on the train, and she said, I know the Gita so well, I know the Chana. You people give so much prasadam. Because she thought I was Indian, I might be doing it. She was so happy. Tell me all these stories about Bhagavatam.
Yeah, sure. Yes, Prabhupada. Yeah.
I was just going to say, you said earlier, maybe we weren't prepared for this class, you did such a wonderful job, and you did it because it's a good thing.
It's all Guru and Gauranga's mercy.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll stop here. Shri Prabhupada ki.